Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Success Circle Business Accelerator call. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm Lisa Minnini with Accelerate Associates, and if you're new to the Success Circle or the Profitability Lab, welcome, welcome, welcome. Today on the Business Accelerator call, it's all about overcoming entrepreneurial fear. We're going to talk about, if you talk to any entrepreneur about fears, they could usually make a list about a mile long from making payroll to launching a new product or service. So in this High Content Business Accelerator call, we're going to take a deeper dive in overcoming your entrepreneurial fears. So specifically today, we're going to discover the top 12 most common fears in running a business and how to overcome them. There's one fear that is so subtle it can really derail even the most successful business owner. And what's really underneath your failure to perform in your business and how to allow for a new level of power, productivity, and profitability with just a simple mindset shift. So that's what we're going to cover today, and I'm just so excited that you guys are here. I do want to just make sure that all of our new Success Circle and also our Profitability Lab members have access to the Business Accelerator call to remind each of you that on November 12th, it's a Thursday, there will be another Profitability Lab introduction. So for the Success Circle who are wondering what the Profitability Labs are all about, you can join us. Or for those of you that have already joined us for the Profitability Labs and you're on a team, then feel free to bring a business owner that you know to the Profitability Lab on November 12th. And we start, registration begins at 8:30 and we start at 9 o'clock. If you are remote and you're not in Michigan, which is where these occur at the Accelerate Associates headquarters in Canton, Michigan, if you're not there and you want to join us for a Profitability Lab, tap into the online one. And you can tap into that at profitabilitylabs.com, profitabilitylabs.com, and you can view the online one. So it's very convenient whether you're live or online. Okay, well, let's get started. The purpose of the Business Accelerator calls happen each month, and we dive deeper into the systems approach to profitability, otherwise known as the Entrepreneurial Ed System. And each month, we are covered, these Business Accelerator calls happen every second Tuesday of the month at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. They are recorded, and within 24 hours in the audio library, the Success Circle, you'll be able to tap into and download. But if you don't, if you miss the live version or on Tuesday afternoon, or you simply want to hear about it before you get that CD in the mail, then you can download it in the audio library right away, again, within 24 hours. Otherwise, if you miss it, it'll come to you in the CD version along with our Accelerate Success Institute newsletter. So just a one-page newsletter that lets you know about what's coming up. So today, you're really going to leave this session recognizing when you're getting stopped by fear and tactics to overcome them. And as you know, October is known for Halloween. We've got fangs, Frankenstein, and fear. So if you ask any successful entrepreneur about fears of the entrepreneur, that list is quite long. But fears can be helpful. They can be helpful or they can be a hindrance. How does it keep you, how can fears be helpful? Well, they keep you safe. Like, you know, that driver that didn't see you as they're going into your lane. We've all been there, right? And they narrowly miss your car. In that split second, it's your mind's way of telling you that you're in danger. Now, every entrepreneur deals with fear. And in order to do something big, you have to overcome something big. And one of the biggest things to overcome is fear. And it really, fear is a mindset. It can be a mindset. And it's all part of mastering your inner entrepreneur. So let's get started today on the very first fear. You know, this first fear I'm going to cover seems unusual or weird. And then that is the fear of success. And I've often said you need to feed faith, not fear. Feed faith, not fear. And when you do the very thing that you fear, the fear can go away. If you feel failure, then fail. That's one way to get over it, right? But a lot of people fear success. And, you know, it's interesting. What you most often, what you fear the most is sometimes what you desire the most. And sometimes we have to ask ourselves, what are we really afraid of? You know, it was interesting, and sometimes we're afraid of success and what success might, we think what success might bring. When I first got my business started, I had a real employee mindset, and it was all I knew. It was all I knew. Most of you know my story. I worked in corporate for over 19 years. I've had my business for over 13 now, but I worked in, you know, corporate arena for 19, 20 years. And many times what came up was in the fear of success is, you know, and this goes for a lot of entrepreneurs too, is if you feel you're successful, you have to give something up. Gee, if I'm successful, I got to give up something like my time freedom or my personal time. So then what happens is your actions follow your thoughts. So if you have that fear of success and what you think success you have to give up to have success, well, of course, your actions will follow your thoughts. You'll invite more of that into your life. Sometimes a subset of fear of success is also, gee, I'm going to get bored. You know, and it's rarely about, you know, when you have this mindset of, oh, I'm going to get bored, there's nothing interesting to do, you've told yourself there's nothing interesting left to do. The solution is to remind yourself of the most exciting times in your business. What was exciting? What triggered those feelings of excitement? And guess what? As a leader, you can recreate them instead of taking them for granted. And gratefulness is really key. And it's one of the systems that I talk about is having a your inner entrepreneurial mindset system every day. It's actually a system of gratitude. And really, you know, thinking about what you can be grateful for. And what that does is puts a lot of things in perspective, especially when you're thinking you're getting bored. So think about what are the three things you maybe haven't done in your field if you're, you know, feel this boredom setting in. Three things that you haven't done in your field that would be really exciting. And when you ask yourself that question, your brain is going to search for it, for the solution. And I've often said you look for the and solution. Maybe you haven't done something in your field of expertise. You can combine two things that haven't been done before to make it really exciting. See, the answer's there. You just have to take responsibility for finding it, for exciting yourself around it. And another subset of the fear of success is often concern or being afraid that you are going to be held to a higher standard. And you will. As you become more successful, people will expect more from you. And just tell yourself you're going to do your best, you're going to leverage resources, and you're going to leverage those resources so that you can play a bigger game. And that doesn't mean you have to give anything up. Now, when you make mistakes, be totally human about it. Admit to your audience and do what you can to fix it and move on. Everybody fails. I'll give you a great example of this. Before I send out my e-zines or emails, and I approve them, I look and I read them numerous, numerous times. And wouldn't you know it that I sent out an email and I referred to a date. It was actually a Thursday, and I referred to it as Wednesday. The date was correct. It was the day was off. And so I thought, oh, you know, just after I read it a gazillion times, I had to send out a clarification. Oops. Okay. Now, it's not the first time. It actually came on the heels of another email error. And did I receive people that unsubscribed to my e-zine? You betcha. I don't know if that's the reason for it. And what I realized was this. In that moment, I realized my preferred client. I realized that my preferred client is forgiving. My preferred client has compassion. And it really had me see an added psychographic, you know, those likability factors of your ideal clients that I talk about in the preferred client profile. And if we haven't covered that yet, that we will to my new Profitability Lab members. Yeah, so it's that added psychographic that allowed me to see, oh, wait, okay, and interestingly enough, I got a slew of emails back that said, hey, no problem. We know you're conscientious. In fact, one gentleman said, you know, this just shows how concerned you are, and this just shows your level of excellence, I think, was his verbiage. I was like, I've got to save this email and post it. So don't set yourself up as this perfect person. Be real. Your preferred client will understand. And, you know, like them, you blow it once in a while. And as long as you do what you can to make it right, in quotation marks, right, you know, or, you know, apologize for that, you know, you will really, they will get to know you and, you know, and appreciate that, hey, even experts make mistakes. Okay, got it. And move on. So that's, you know, those, everybody's going to make a mistake at some point. Perfection is not the thing to try to strive for. And a lot of times when you're in fear mode, the fear of success, you want to try to make everything right. And I'll talk about another fear in just a minute. The second fear is a fear of failure. You know, you get fixated on a certain outcome, and you want success, whatever that looks like for you. But if you're getting too attached to the outcome, that's what's going to get you down. So what do you do instead? I want you to consider that what's really underneath your failure to perform in your business and is not looking at failure as a personal failure. It's simply a failure in performance. So, what do I mean by that? How can it not be a personal failure? If you said you're going to have this particular financial goal and you didn't achieve it, isn't that a, you know, personal failure? Consider failure is going to happen, right? You're not going to always meet your benchmarks. But underneath, consider that you personally are not your failures. You are you. And so many times we identify ourselves with our business, but you realize that your failures do not define you. They are not who you really are. So don't attach yourself personally to your times of failures. Resilient entrepreneurs, wise entrepreneurs, learn to let go and move on from their failures. You have to adjust that mindset. Consider that failure is not a bad thing. It's not a wrong thing, and you're not a bad person for it. Consider failure is not a bad thing. You may have started your company. You may not have gained funding. You may have made mistakes. think of it as tuition for success, that you've learned a valuable lesson. You're much more experienced and knowledgeable. And for those people, that you are actually ahead of them, all right, the ones that you're going to eventually coach or mentor, consider that you have really great experience to be able to coach them now. You know, Thomas Edison once said, "I failed my way to success." A pile of failures can really turn into mountains of success for you. So consider the mindset shift that it's not bad. Failure is not bad. You also want to ask yourself if there was something that you have not achieved, ask yourself, was it my ability or my application or my execution? Is it my ability or my execution? Because when entrepreneurs fail, it comes down usually to two reasons, unless it's events you can't control, but it's either they're lacking the ability to pull it off, or they had the ability but failed in their execution of it. Now, I remember in my first workshop, I had six, very first workshop ever that I did for my own business. I had maybe six people registered and like two people showed up. I was mortified. I was embarrassed. I don't want to look bad in my space. You know, then I was like, oh, what did I do wrong? Well, it just simply was not having enough systems in place, okay, the application and my ability to know the next step that individuals needed to opt in, really taking advantage of the two people that were there, right, and just not having my programs and products set up in a way that people opted in. I didn't take a systems approach immediately right out the gate, right? It was a point of discovery for me. So that was missing. So is it your ability, which you can learn from someone else, or is it an application or execution piece? The third fear is the fear of the unknown. How many times have you stayed on the fence because of the fear of the unknown? And if you look at a picket fence and imagine yourself sitting on that picket fence, that's a painful place to be. Especially when you're asking yourself or questions. Gee, am I going to get bankrupt or am I going to succeed? Am I going to burn out or, you know, is this going to energize me? Am I going to lose $1 million or make $1 million? All right. So let's get the unknown out of the way, because let's really look at the true cause of that fear. Because when you look at when you fear failure, you're really at a crucial point of development. You're kind of admitting to yourself that, hey, there's something bigger than me. And in this case, it's your fear. So when you're in that space of fear, take a step back and ask the question, what am I really afraid of? What am I really afraid of? And failure is not clear enough. There's something more concrete. I'm afraid nobody's going to show up to my workshop. I'm afraid I won't be able to get enough funding. I'm afraid I'm going to mess up my search engine optimization if I don't do these blogs right. I'm afraid that my developers won't meet production deadlines. I'm afraid my mailing list is not big enough. I'm afraid my content marketing is not compelling. I'm afraid my videos won't look professional enough. I'm afraid everybody knows this stuff. I'm not saying anything new. I'm afraid there's going to be so much volume, I can't keep up. Okay, now that's a little bit better. Now you can distill your fears into objective, concrete challenges. Now, then what do you do? Well, you can either solve it, ask for help, or build a business model that addresses it. Now, the Success Circle audio library gives you access to alleviate much of these questions that I've already mentioned. And once you understand what you are really afraid of, you can deal with the problem rather than giving up your power to fear. That's just a simple question. Narrow it down to an objective and then solve it. The fourth fear, fear of hitting your next financial goal. So, first of all, your fear should never completely erase your goal. Your fear should never erase your goal. Now, what's important, though, in that is let's just accept fear for a moment. It's part of being human. Now, what if you have a plan for getting back up? Another challenge to overcome. You know, fear can be really subtle. It can really derail business owners. And so I've seen where business owners don't even set a goal for the fear of not being able to hit it. So they don't set goals at all. And this fear can show up at really interesting places, especially if you're not addressing it. I want you to imagine for a moment you're meeting with a prospect. And you're in that meeting with the prospect, and the conversation's going really well. And you get to the part where you're discussing working together. Now, if you have a deeply embedded fear that, oh, are they going to show up? Are they going to sign up with me? Consider that what's you're actually missing from that is not having a solid lead generation system. Now, how did I leap from there to a lead generation system? Because if you're so connected, so attached, so hooked on them saying yes, you likely don't have enough multiple income streams and enough prospects coming through your funnel. Consider that you haven't enrolled them in what's possible for them to a point where you haven't really been centered on them to a point where registering with you is just a natural next step. And it's not a bad thing. This goes back to skill. The skill is simply missing. And consider that you may not be a clearing, that you're putting something in the space, that fear that causes them to kind of unconsciously hesitate and go to a no. And consider that you may not deliver information the way they want to receive it, and that's all part of your natural wiring. So, all of these could be potential factors to them not saying yes, and it all resides with you. And this is not about shrinking back or, you know, not taking risks or trying different things. It's all about trying different things. It's all about moving forward beyond that fear, trying different stuff, see what works for you. And there's always going to be layers. there's always going to be layers, especially when your financial goals get really big. One of my clients during a session said, well, Lisa, you probably don't have any fears. And I laughed. Because there are always layers of field of fear. About 18 months ago or more, it's about probably 24 now, I put a lot on my plate. I got into a complete meltdown with my coach, and I'm just blubbering, and things just like hit, you know, the peak. And I said, you know, he knew how much of a planner I was, had systems in my business, but I had this breakdown. And he said, Lisa, peace and ease. Peace and ease. What's the upset about? And I really took a deep breath and I took a step back because I was feeling like, oh my gosh, you know, I got this and I got this and I can't keep up and all blah, 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 blah. And in the moment that he said peace and ease, I realized that as a leader, that if I could choose, if I generated stress and upset, then I could generate peace and ease regardless of the circumstances around me. And that's taking fear, that's taking power, accountability, authority, and responsibility over the results I wanted to achieve and the life I wanted to lead. No more about not achieving those financial goals or other fears like, oh my gosh, I don't have enough, whatever it was. It was more about creating peace and ease regardless of the circumstances. So if you can create drama, if you can create upset in any moment about what is happening, then you as a leader can create peace and ease regardless of the circumstances. There's a story of a tribal chief that is telling a story to the children of the tribe that each person has two wolves in their heart, always fighting against each other to control us, one good and the other evil. The children asked this elderly tribal chief, which wolf will win? And the chief replies, whichever one you feed the most. So consider, which are you feeding the most? The fifth fear is, and I get this a lot from entrepreneurs, is a fear of if they're going to pay you what you're offering. Remember, people invest in outcomes and value. Focus on what is going to make their life better. Be slightly detached from the outcome. Be detached from the, you know, whether or not they're going to say yes and yes or no, and what's best for them. You know, you aren't always going to be able to, not everybody's going to say yes, right? But there is a process and a system to pre-qualify people. There's your lead generation system. There's a way to bring them in and structure your programs, products, and services based on your ideal client so that you increase the chances of them saying yes. And there's ways to make sure that you look at the process of your sales so that you increase your chances. There also may be things that a specific way to prepare the person that you want to work with them, that they're going to be made an offer, for example, which a lot of people don't do. I'll give you a great example. This often happens when people speak. They don't prepare the audience that there will be an offer at the end. Going to be a great example. Recently, I went to a service for my second cousin. He was 28. He passed away, sadly. He was quite an inspirational man. He was actually born deaf. Had numerous surgeries, probably over 100 in his 28 years on this earth. And he was the most inspirational and brave soul you could ever meet. In any one day, if you think about the life that he led practically in hospitals his entire life, then nothing you could possibly go through would seem remotely, bad comparative to what his life was. Yet he always had a smile, and he was so inspirational as a person that his high school, he went to the High School for the Deaf, named an annual award after him. It was the Inspirational Award given out each year to a student, and they named it after him. It's the John Ryan Ashley Inspirational Award. And it was one of the most moving services that I have ever been to. It seems odd to say that you could go to, if somebody's funeral who's at 28 years old and it be inspirational, but it truly was a moving service. And he was my inspiration for learning sign language, because we would have these family reunions and I would, see him, and yet he couldn't talk, and he only knew sign language. So I learned sign language to be able to speak to him at each family reunion. Now, at the end of the service, it was interesting. The pastor invited all of us, which most people there, I believe, were guests. We had never been to this church before. And he invited us to come to services. But after a while, he kept going on about his invitation, and it landed as a pitch rather than an offer to come to services. And I almost felt like something other than a clear offer to worship together was really in the space. Then I looked at, what was missing? What was really missing to prepare this particular audience? Was it even possible to do that? And I thought that the same process that I show speakers in what to do is might have made a real difference, a difference in making a solid and powerful offer. And so I just thought, if he said, welcome to, new members of our congregation. I know many of you are visitors. I want to warmly welcome you if you're a visitor. For those of you, we're going to celebrate the life of Johnny, and for those of you that are inspired to move forward and join us for our upcoming worship service at the end of today, I'll invite you. But first, let's talk about the life of Johnny. And if he would have only prepared us at the very beginning that he was going to offer and extend his hand at the end, it likely would not have landed like a pitch, but it would have been a sincere offer to come and, hey, let's worship together. Now, those are the kind of nuances that you want to really look at. So it's not about a fear, that you're fearful that somebody's not going to accept your offer, but it's a genuine offer, and there's nothing in the space, maybe they won't. But if you've got all your systems there, if you've got your programs, packages, if you've got you preparing the person on what the process is going to be, by the time you get to your offer, it's just simply a natural extension, and there's no fear. There's nothing to be fearful about. So the next fear I want to talk about is the fear of going big and you won't have time. Now, when people have this fear, if I go really big, if I accelerate, I'm not going to have enough of my free time, this simply comes from not having a very clear plan or your business blueprint. And if you don't have that game plan, it's really hard to identify the team you need and mostly when to add them. And there's lots of ways to address that, but you've got to know your numbers. You've got to know your metrics, and you've got to build a business model that identifies metrics to determine when to add your team, whether that's adding a team as an employee or adding independent contractors. Could be a CPA to assist you with your taxes. Could be a bookkeeper that helps you add in all of your expenses and your income. Could be a virtual assistant. It could be tech support that you hire, a business that does that. It could be a fulfillment center if you're going to sell products or books. It could be a videographer to help you with your videos. You might pay them a monthly fee, a one-time proposal, for a special event, for example. Now, you don't want to be, making haphazard decisions because you simply don't have a blueprint, a very clear plan of how you're going to get from where you are today to where you want to be. And that comes from having a business blueprint. So going big is not scary, not when you have everything laid out in front of you that shows you how you're going to get there. And that's the beauty of a business blueprint. That's the beauty of reverse engineering your results so you know exactly what you need to do and when you need to do it. Now, some subsets of that fear come up like, oh, gee, I don't know if I can sustain my A game. Well, you know what? Everybody needs to make sure that they rest and recuperate at some point. Every single July, I make it a point. My calendar is, for several weeks in July, if not the whole month, I have a very limited schedule. And I do that purposely. So I take time off. I regroup, I clear my head, and it's really essential. And for some of you, you may have to ask yourself, gee, what can I cut out of my business that's really not essential to satisfying my customers? What customers do I need to focus on to bring in extra profits? You might need to reduce the frequency of something. So as your business expands, as it gets bigger, you can ask yourself these questions and understand downtime isn't a bad thing, it's necessary. And also, the fear, the subset is, I don't have time to balance my life. Well, again, you need to look at your business model. Maybe you need to specialize. And if you're saying those five words that will kill a sale or a referral every time, I work with anybody who, maybe you need to focus exactly on who your ideal client is. Be exact to attract. And remember, when you feel the fear rising up, just remind yourself you have the power. Make one change today, even if it's, ending work early to balance your life. Maybe it's also adding your goals and objectives to your business blueprint. If you want to spend more time, if you have children and you want to spend more time with them, then there better be, a goal in your business blueprint to do that. If you're, I've had a number of clients over the years who've had to then be caregivers to their spouses in a lot of cases because there was a disease or illness or something. And I said, do you have a goal around it? Is it in your business blueprint? This helps you make the decisions. This helps you say, okay, what do I need to shift and shape so that this is achievable? Who do I need to bring on board? And these can completely erase any overwhelm or fear that you might have. The seventh fear is a fear of marketing and blogging. Get this a lot. People don't start blogging, they won't write, they won't video because, what if people say negative things about what I write or what I blog about or my videos? Or, gee, they might unsubscribe from my list. Or my video it has to be top-notch, professional grade before I'll even post it. Well, then it takes you 12 months to get it in place or more. 12 months of missed opportunities, 12 months of missing out on SEO, search engine optimization material, 12 months of being in more fear than focused on simple little things that would add tremendous value. Now, some of those, you know, concerns might be legitimate, like, gee, I don't have my lead generation system in place, and should I start that before the blog? That could be legitimate. It's more of a concern, and then you address that concern. Number eight, I can't trust a VA or my staff. That's a big fear. But I would ask, what's underneath not trusting? What part of you, of yourself, don't you trust? Or that letting go? You know, sometimes I know entrepreneurs can be control freaks. You've got to tell yourself that outsourcing stuff is really an intelligent risk. Start small. Maybe focus on helping your VA virtual assistant do some small things. It's your responsibility for being very specific about what you want. So if that person's not delivering what you want, consider that you might need to be more exacting. You might have to focus more on an onboarding process. You might have to look at your interviewing process and who you're bringing aboard. Now, one of the webinars that are available is the Interviewing Made Easy, accelerateassociates.com/interviewing-made-easy. And I show people kind of a three-step process of interviewing and onboarding. You want to ask for references when you're hiring. You want to ask really good behavior-based questions. You want to ask for, you know, examples. You want to make sure that you follow up on all of that before you hire somebody, even if it's an independent contractor. So if you're saying you can't trust somebody, I would ask, what is underneath that can't trust? What's underneath that? It's essential for any business owner running a profitable business to be able to leverage their business through having other people on your team to do that. Number nine, a fear of you're not good enough. And that can really sideline any entrepreneur. Or, you know, I'm afraid I'll have to take a job because I'm not bringing in enough income. Well, if you focus on that, what you focus on, you find. What you focus on grows and increases. What you focus on seems real. And what you focus on, you ultimately become. And in some cases, if you're going to lose your home, it's probably a good idea to try to find something to bring in some cash flow while and there's lots of ways to do that as an entrepreneur. The tenth fear is the fear of being the leading expert in your field. As weird as that sounds, some people are concerned with that. Maybe you have a concern that people won't take you seriously or that your, quote, competitor, I don't really believe that we truly have competitors. We are all different. It's a very different way that we execute our products or services. But focus on what your contribution is. Focus on what your signature program is. If you don't have a signature program, we have an audio about how to develop one in the audio library. So something that's really innovative that maybe the current people in your industry aren't doing. And remember to identify who those ideal clients are. And when you look at what the value is that you're providing and you communicate that value, people will go to you for the right reasons. And the preferred clients will go to you for the right reasons. Those are really key. So you want to make sure if you have this fear of being the leading expert, it simply might just be looking at your signature program or even developing your signature program if you don't have one. The 11th fear is the fear of committing. And this is where you have to ask yourself, what do you really want? What do you really want? And again, if you have some of that other fear of success and going big that you have to give something up, is that getting in the way of you committing? And sometimes it's about setting a boundary to commit to something for a specific period of time and say, you know what? I'm going to do this for 6 months. I'm going to do this for 1 month. I'm going to do this for, you know, take exercise, for example. Right? I'm going to commit to doing this every single, 6 days a week. Make it achievable. 6 days a week, every day, working out. 3 months. Great. Set a boundary. Make yourself committed, and then after 3 months, set a new one. Sometimes setting those short-term goals will have you take long-term leaps. Short-term goals sometimes will have you take long-term leaps. And the 12th fear is, and this is a big one, especially if you are a little bit higher on the information scale, the reservedness, the information, the do it right, the fear that it's not perfect enough. It's not good enough. And by it, I mean, the teleseminar or the webinar or this product or my videos aren't perfect enough. It's the paralysis of perfection. Can kill your dreams every time. And what happens with perfectionism is it's the all or nothing. You know, I don't have my logo, so I can't make business cards, so I can't do networking, so I'll just stay home. Right? So this really crushes some creativity. It really prevents productivity, and it prevents your profitability. Done is better than perfect. Unless you're talking about surgery. But most of you are not surgeons. So if you sometimes won't take action, because you don't have certain things. That's not the idea. It's a work in progress. You know, the website, if you're thinking, gee, I want to create a website and, you know, it's not perfect enough, so I don't want to go to network, you know what? Your website will never be perfect enough. It is always going to change. And if you say, this isn't working out, maybe it's a sign that I should give up, you know, that's the view of a perfectionist, and there's fear there. Overcoming that means looking at those as just temporary hurdles to overcome. Remember, it's your tuition for learning. So you might need to, have some short-term wins there rather than saying, oh, it's not going to work. I've often said that it's natural for especially the perfectionists, the ones that have a high on the information scale that want to do it right, do it perfectly. Oftentimes, it's natural for you to take a look at what's wrong with the picture, how it's not right. Now, this can be an advantage, and it could be an advantage because you produce work of very high quality. You become a subject matter expert in your field of study. And it's the first place you're going to go to, default. So the key is to train your brain to say, okay, what's right or valuable about this? What's good or valuable about this? You always have to look at the complete opposite. And focus on what you do want versus what you don't want. So many people, especially the perfectionists, that want to have that blog that's perfect right out the gate, you know, they get upset because, you know, how do I possibly tell everybody that I, you know, all about this one blog? And I, you know, have to keep saying that people like short, concise things. You don't have to give them everything in your first blog. In fact, you want them to be compelled by what you have to say, and if you don't give them everything, it's okay. If you're speaking and you're a perfectionist, just be about 80% done. One of my former mastermind partners, Sean DePerrin, said, Lisa, just be 80% on. And I thought, wow, that's cool. I can be 80% on. I just need you to be 80% on. I'm like, I can do that. We can all do that. Instead of trying to be 100% on, be 80% on. 80 is good. So focus on what you do want. Focus on what you do want. So if you rather than saying, you know, gee, I don't want to screw up this first webinar, this first teleseminar, say, you know what, the contribution that I want to make in the world is I want my clients to have a better life. And being really focused and taking action in the contribution that you're making in the world versus what you don't want to have happen. And being motivated by your passion and your possibility rather than fear. And this includes the meaning behind what you do, the contribution that you're providing in the world. And when you are clear on your contribution, you will be more engaged, you will be more resilient, and you will be more successful. So, overcoming entrepreneurial fear. So we went through the 12 most common fears, the subtle fears that can derail any business owner, and what's underneath some of those failures to perform, what's underneath some of that. And I recommend that any time that you're feeling that fear is showing up for you, to pop in the CD, to listen to the download again, and focus on what you do want. Remember, the principle of focus. What you focus on, you find. What you focus on seems real. What you focus on grows and increases. And what you focus on, you ultimately become. And it goes along with the other principles, the principle of control. And that's not about, you know, controlling everything. Rather, it's about 10% is what happens to you. 90% is how you respond to it. The principle of the belief, believing it will happen, and it will happen. And being in gratitude for all the good things that you have in your life. So consider some of those principles the next time that, you know, fear's rising up in you, and focus on what you do want in life, what you do want to have happen. And most importantly, work underneath that contribution that you're making. And no fear will have a chance when you do that. I want to thank you all for coming today. It has been my pleasure. This has been your Business Accelerator call. And until next time, create a great life. Bye, everybody.